We'll read Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse number 22 down to the last verse. Proverbs chapter 8, 22 through 36. And it reads, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was in the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." We understand the book of Proverbs in the context of the wisdom of God. Ultimately, it refers to the wise son, and that would be Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 18, says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and to bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block and to Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And all throughout the scriptures we see that God is trying to bring us to the place of wisdom. The Proverbs writer also tells us, and I believe it's Solomon, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." And there is a distinction, obviously, between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, or the wisdom of the world. And if we are to be wise as God's children, we have a decision to make. We have to decide that we are not going to be defined by the culture, which knows nothing of true wisdom. See, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to the Christian. From Dave's lesson this morning, we as students of the scripture understand the folly of misrepresenting the Bible. It only leads to destruction. Now, I'm not the wisest person on the earth by any means, but I know that to rebel against God is not wise at all. It is very foolish. So Christians, and it all comes down to the understanding of the Word of God. See, there will be the tendency as we are studying to lean on our own understanding. Perhaps there are things in the Scriptures that we don't understand, or we're having trouble applying. But wisdom says that I am going to continue on, and I am going to seek after God, no matter whether I understand or not. Because according to the Scripture, He is the all-knowing God. He is infinite in wisdom. He knows all things, and He has established all things from all of eternity. So our eternal perspective should be vastly different from the perspective of the world. And you see that more and more, because more and more men are coming out contrary to God. And nowadays it's so blatant, and it's obvious to us who have any kind of relation or connection to the Scriptures. So we have a personal responsibility as individuals to seek out the wisdom of God. This is our duty. This is what we were created for. And ultimately, the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. What we talked about in class this morning, following the example of our Creator. Not only did he come to save us and to give us life and to be a propitiation for our sin, but He came as that perfect example. Never did any wrong, always doing good. And yet Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, they crucified Him. Had they known, they would not have. But the world lacks this wisdom because the world lacks God. And it's really simple. It's simple to understand that He is God and He knows all things, and He laid out the instructions for us to live on a daily basis, and He provided all things for us pertaining to life and godliness. And our duty is simply to follow. Not saying that it's easy. Jesus Himself said that the road is difficult. There's always going to be challenges. Challenges are a part of life. But specifically for those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, we will have contradictions on every side. But the wise thing to do, as David was sharing with us this morning, is to lay that aside, because ultimately none of that is going to matter. Doesn't matter how many people come against us. Don't matter how many people, whether we are ostracized or hated. Doesn't matter what people do. God is God. The wisest thing to do is stay on the straight and narrow, as Jesus instructs us in Matthew 7. The wisest thing to do is to set our hearts on things above. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, fix our eyes on the prize. Because with each day, we are closer and closer to our redemption. So we must remain faithful. We must hold fast. We must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We must be wise as the wisest man to ever live, instructs us. And the very God who has infinite wisdom, wisdom so infinite that the scripture says in Proverbs, and we'll look at Proverbs chapter 3. Starting at verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son, in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, verse 19, by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. Think about how powerful wisdom is. And think about what the wisdom is the power of God. So we have the power to overcome those challenges, those difficulties. We have the power to conquer all of our inner struggles and our outer struggles. It's just as simple as staying on the path. And on that path, you will, all of your efforts will seemingly be feeble and futile. And you will seem that to never be able to get it right. But understand, as long as you are going after God, you can't go wrong. And this is why the scripture, and he tells us what I just read, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Because ultimately, all of these things are working out for our good, for our sanctification, that God might be glorified in our lives. In other words, it's not about us. Once we receive Christ, our lives belong to him. And his life becomes our life. And when he rules and reigns in our hearts, we can trust in him. We can know that he is faithful. We can know that he will do right. We can know that he answers prayer. We can know, we can stand still and know that he is God. No matter what. And all of this comes through the Word of God, the wisdom of God. We are wise to know that he is the only hope. We are wise to know that in all things he is faithful and good. And he loves us. Just as like I just read, he chastens those whom he loves. Now I understand the idea, and there's no wise person. You can't outsend the grace of God. But there's no wise person that would purposefully and willfully sin in front of a righteous God and grieve the Spirit of God. Because the Bible tells us that there are, his mercies are new every morning. And his mercy endures forever. And the prophet tells us, not if I fall, but when I fall, I shall arise, because the Lord is my vindication. If we set this in our hearts that God is, then we can trust him, and no matter how hard we may fall, we can get up. Even Solomon tells us that a righteous man can fall 7 times, but if he can get up, because God is willing and able to forgive and put those sins behind you and give you the power to move forward, you can stand on his word. You can stand in his righteousness. You can trust in his blood. He has all power and all knowledge. He is the wise one, the only wise one. There's not a wise man on the earth. There's not a man that does not sin. Only one was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And he has become our example, becoming a man, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, to not only be our example, but be the power to overcome. That's why he tells us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And it is very easy living in this world. It's very easy to fall into temptation. We see it all around us. I see men that start off faithful and zealous, then all of a sudden they're falling away. So it is a challenge. But ultimately, if we hold fast to what we know of our God, we can't grow wrong. He is faithful. And he is good to those that call upon him. And he says, just like I read in, from Proverbs chapter 8, daily watching at my gates, daily seeking, daily prayer, daily studying, daily seeking to serve and live out. As Paul tells us, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to practice the things that are laid out for us in Scripture, though they may be challenging at times. And for the most part, this word is going to challenge everything in our nature. Human nature is contrary to the word of God. Paul says in Galatians 5, the flesh wars against the spirit. So there's always going to be that inner conflict. Paul dealt with that inner conflict in Romans chapter 7. I do the things that I will to do, I don't. Things that I will not to do, I do continually. So the inner struggle and the outer struggle can be overwhelming. But we can stand in the power of God. We can stand in the wisdom of God. We can stand in the righteousness of our God, trusting that he is able to save us, to sanctify us, to purify us, and to make us, and to prepare us for eternity. So it is wise living in this world to prepare for eternity. It is wise to shut off the wisdom of this world, have no parts of it. Because it only takes it. You know, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It only takes a little bit. But if we are wise, we will set our hearts to do all that the Lord requires of us. And I laid it out last time, and the scripture lays it out. And he has shown you, O man, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's really that simple. So I want to encourage us to continue in the fight and continue to encourage others to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, and this is Jesus, of course, I would liken him into a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And he's referencing those that refuse to build their house on the rock. You build your house on sand, it will sink every time. Build your house on the rock, and it will stand in any storm. It can stand the test of time. It can stand the test of persecution. It can stand the test of personal insecurities and fears and anxieties. It can stand any test that comes against it, because you are standing on the rock. And this is why he tells us, lean not on your own understanding. In a time of testing, there may be a time of confusion. But God is faithful. Hold fast. Know that he is. And know that his sole desire is that you would be saved, and that we would be with him in all of eternity. This is the very reason that he came to earth, to redeem us. From not only from our sin, but from ourselves. He is our God. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse number 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Don't run in vain. Run with a desire to win the prize. Paul also talks about the runner, the athlete who runs to obtain a perishable crown. we're running to obtain something that's imperishable. Eternal life. And the imagery of running is all throughout the Bible. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, holiness. Run the race. We are fleeing this world. Your house is on fire. You're not going to be standing around trying to figure out you're going to get as far away from that. And this is exactly what we in this world. We must flee. Don't attach to anything in this world. Don't be like Lot's wife. Don't look back. We know what happened. So it is wise to look up, for our redemption draws near. Just some things to consider about who our God is and who we are. And what our responsibility is as individuals. We want to learn of God through the scriptures. We want to pray and allow the Lord to help us practice wisdom in the scriptures. Want to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves from idols. Turn away from this godless culture that's only headed for destruction. We've come too far. We move forward. We press on. We look to Christ. He is faithful. And He is good. The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is no other. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the captain of our salvation. He is the Almighty. And we will give an account of our lives. It is appointed unto man to die once, and after that, to judgment. And we will look in the eyes of God and answer for every single moment. That's kind of scary if you consider it. When you're not covered by the blood, that's a very scary thing, because we're facing eternal judgment. I don't know. That's not very wise when you have the opportunity to see eternal life. So the wisest thing that you can do in this very moment, come to Christ. And if you have fallen away, the wisest thing you can do is get up. Dust yourself off. Return to Christ. And let Him work in your heart and make you new. If there is any need at this time, come. We will stand. Same song of invitation.